Hey, this is Sherry Gregory, and you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well. In this bonus episode, Amy and I are going to be talking about how to know when you need to focus. And then Tanya Kubo, who is the facilitator for the Grit and Grace Girls Facebook group, will be sharing details about the upcoming online book club for You Don't Have to Try So Hard. All right, well, continuing along the lines of You Don't Have to Try So Hard, the re-release of the first book that I co-authored with Kathy Lipp, and you graciously gave us this beautiful endorsement that I'm so excited is right on the cover with your name.
Amazing.
So like my favorite people all in one place.
Aww.
And I even tried to get Kathy in on this conversation, but she's on sabbatical right now. And it actually is somewhere between ironic and poetic justice that we can't talk to her while she's doing the very thing I want to talk about, which is focus. How do we know when we need to focus? So we don't have Kathy as our expert. So you and I are just going to have to wrestle this thing out together.
That sounds great. Well, so I hear you've been thinking about some of the ideas from the book in your summer projects.
Yes.
And for those of you that don't know, Sherry lives lots of lives, actually. She wears a lot of hats. She lives a teacher's life because she is a teacher. Her husband is a teacher. And for teachers, summertime is project time.
That's right.
And so you have been doing several big projects. Tell us about the projects first.
They kind of happened accidentally. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to process this with you, is because I'm like, okay, I think they ended up okay, but I think there were some things about them that made me uncomfortable. And my biggest thing is, did I fall into all or nothing thinking, which we talk about so often? You know, did I fall down the rabbit hole of being a perfectionist again? The first project got started without me wanting or meaning for it to, and I'll spare you the details, but I ended up having to go through all my teaching resources because they got moved and I needed to deal with them. And so that took me a couple of days of just gutting and making decisions. And then having done that, I looked at the books in my house and realized, oh my goodness, I got rid of half my teaching resources. Maybe it's finally time for me to admit that Kathy was right all along in telling me that books can be clutter. My brain was already in search and destroy mode. I'm like, it's not going to last very long. So let me attack the books. Well, that took me 3 days because I have so many. And then August 15 was ticking around and I had done an extension for our taxes and I had to get them done. All of these projects took the time they took because I didn't have a good process in place for any of them. They'd all been things I'd kind of procrastinated and put off. And I decided this time to do them right, to like really gut my books thoroughly and to really get the process in place so that next year when it's time to do taxes, I can do them in February rather than, you know, end of July or August. Yeah, I know. Crazy, crazy. Yeah. So, but I'm still trying to figure out. I did this deep dive into three different projects and they kind of took over my life. And so now I'm like, well, should I be feeling guilty for going perfectionistic or was this just focus?
Oh, well, see, that's really a good distinction because this sounds like a lot of hard work. And P.S., books as clutter might be heresy. But anyway, so let's go back to talking about some of those bullies that we talked about with Kathy. But just review first real quick about perfectionism, procrastination, performanceism, and how did those play into these projects? And how did you determine whether you were falling back into being bullied or were you just focusing?
All right. So perfectionism, the big issue for me there is always the all or nothing thinking. And when I think of perfectionism, I think of myself being driven by fear. And often what I'm perfecting doesn't actually bring a great deal of value. I remember when I was a new teacher and I would stay up until midnight or 1 a.m. reformatting a worksheet for students. Well, now 30 years later, I know the kids don't care about the format of the worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that was so important, even though it didn't have any practical value in my life long term. So I guess when it comes to the three projects that I would just describe to you, the end results have been good. I mean, like there's fewer books in the house and I use Duck Pack and Track. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a scanner system. So I now know where all my teaching supplies are. I can look at my cell phone and know which box, which things are in, and I can search using the app, I can search. I just type it in and it tells me which box it's in. So that's a very practical outcome.
Genius.
It is really cool. And then the taxes, I'll admit, that's just a matter of relief, praise be that it's done. But after I figured out the process, and I won't bore you with the details, I then taught my son how to do it. And he spent about a full day getting my 2018 AME?
It is.
Okay. So he spent the whole day getting my 2018 records up to date. So instead of going, phew, I got that over with, now I'm going to bury my head in the sand until next year, I immediately took action to continue the momentum. So I guess that was practical as well. So, okay. So I guess it wasn't perfectionistic. That's good.
So you were trying hard, which is legitimate.
Yes.
And that takes focus.
It does.
But you didn't fall into trying too hard, which is the perfectionism, procrastination, and performanceism.
Yeah.
Would you say that's true?
I would say that's true because it did require a certain amount of hard work. And, you know, here's the thing. The reason I felt like I needed to just stay focused is because those were the kinds of projects, and I'm sure this happens to you as well. You know, we always hear about taking baby steps and to divide things up. Oh, just work on it for 15 minutes a day. And, you know, over the next 6 months, you'll have a huge achievement. These felt like the kind of projects that if I tried to work on them a little bit at a time, I was going to lose ground every day. Like I was going to forget where I was at, or it was going to leave too much of a mess. I mean, it really felt like the kind of thing that once I got my head in the game, I needed to stay in the game until I had finished the whole thing. And I think sometimes projects are like that.
Well, that's a great distinction. So help us if we have a project that's kind of looming. How can we tell when a project needs focus?
Well, for me, I have been procrastinating as evidenced by the fact that I didn't file my taxes until actually August 15th. But I kept telling myself I was procrastinating because I was lazy. When the truth is, what I found out after, you know, really doing this deep focus, I was putting it off because I didn't have a good process in place. And I think there was a part of me that knew that I needed to just really take the time. I think there was a part of me, and I only see this now in retrospect, that knew that the 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time method wasn't going to work. It was just going to get me more frustrated because I was going to make a tiny bit of progress and then lose ground, tiny bit of progress and lose ground. So I think one of the ways we can tell when a project needs focus is if we've tried that method and we're really not making progress. And I think the difficulty in here, for those of us who have achiever personalities, we feel like it should be done by now. Like, I've put in my time. It should be done. I'm bored. I am so over this. And so maybe that feeling of, oh, I just don't want to have to do the hard thing sometimes is a really good indication that we need to look at our calendars and schedule that time to do the hard thing. Get it done once. I'll say get it done right. Not perfect, but get it done right. Because then it's an investment. Like, my taxes will never again be this hard.
Right. And it's in your rearview mirror. Oh. You've done it right, so you don't have to face it again.
Exactly.
Right? So that was a great practical step that we have to carve out space on our calendar when something needs focus, that we just need to take a day or two or whatever you think it's going to take. Did you have to give up anything when you carved out that space?
Yeah. And this is where I think is where I got my fear that I was falling into procrastination, because I did have to look at my calendar and cancel some appointments. And so, for example, I also took out exercise. And I'm like, oh, well, this is bad. I'm trying to stay in the habit of exercising. But it turns out I still met my step goal every day because I was so busy walking around, taking things to the car, all that kind of stuff. So that ended up being kind of a trade-off. But yeah, I did. And in the future, I want to be more proactive about this because I kind of did all this last minute and I just looked at my calendar and went, well, everything is going except this project. In the future, to be able to plan it that way would mean less of an impact on other people. And the other thing I would do differently is space them out. Like, I did all three of these in a 10-day span. Like, it was a weekend, a week, and then another weekend. And yes, it felt good to get it done, but that wasn't balanced at all. In the future, I would really like to not back myself in the corner with a deadline such as August 15, because that was my do or die. I had to get the taxes done by then.
I love that. Well, recently I had a situation, and I was texting back and forth with my brother about some people we had known on our past. And he said, "Amy, I think we're seeing this parable with faces we know in it," which was like a big aha moment. I love that you saw a scripture in a new way with labels that had your project in it. Tell us about that.
Well, I was thinking to myself, again, because I think as recovering perfectionists and people pleasers were, and those of us who are highly sensitive, we're always looking for balance. We're always looking for the middle of the road because it's the extremes that do get us into the worst trouble and indicate that maybe we're less healthy than, you know, God is leading us to be. But I did realize that Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 does say there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And I thought, well, the time to weep and a time to laugh, that was my taxes. Although, have I laughed? Yeah, I
mostly
laughed.
Weeping.
I laughed when I got my $8 refund. All that work for $8 and not getting in trouble. And then a time to mourn and a time to dance. Well, there's been no dancing, but the time to mourn has been getting rid of, Amy, I got rid of 16 boxes of books. 16 Whoa. Banker boxes of books. Yes.
That's amazing.
Mourning the entire time.
Hey, can I throw in a little tip about getting rid of books?
Yes.
Our friend Lynn Cowell told me something the other day. She was here visiting me and we were walking by one of those cute little boxes that some towns have that's yeah. like a community library. Do you have those in your area?
We might. I haven't seen any.
Well, she says that the extra books that she gets, like from publishers mm-hmm. and in the mail and things like that, she puts those in those libraries.
That so, is a wonderful idea.
They might not have been too happy if you had stacked your 16 boxes up there beside the little box.
Well, let's be clear what I mean by getting rid of. Okay, half of them are going to our women's class, so I can still visit them whenever I want to. I actually have a key to that room, so that's where I go see my old friends. So, I mean, this is only a separation. This is not a true divorce. Divorced from my books.
Oh my goodness, I love that so much.
Yes, and then I noticed also in Ecclesiastes 3, it says a time to keep and a time to throw away. And that really was a time that had come from my teaching materials. Scripture does show us that sometimes we do end up with these polar opposites, kind of these extreme situations in our lives. I know that there's a book called Deep Work that talks about the need to just put on blinders and focus sometimes. I think as women, we're so busy doing so much multitasking. I know I felt guilty during it. And I think that's where my thoughts, oh, I must be being a perfectionist. Oh, I must be procrastinating. I think that's where all of that may have come from. But I'm going to be looking at my calendar and looking for where I can put in half days and full days of focus for these projects that I notice are just lingering and just not getting done because they just need, and I'm going to say it, deserve. I deserve more time to really do them well so that whatever has been holding me back, like with my taxes, I'm not scared anymore, Amy. I'm not afraid of next year. I'm like, yes, I'm on top of this now. And, you know, the other thing I realized is that helped me realize I wasn't procrastinating. I do have a lot of other things I should have been doing, like a book I need to keep writing with you and a chapter that I need to be working on. But I realized that these other projects were just clogging up my life. And so working on them was literally clearing out space and making room for creativity. And I felt and feel so much better because of it.
You know, years ago, a book came out called The Second Shift. I don't know if you... No. I didn't ever read it. It was just the concept that grabbed me. But I think as women, we wear so many hats. And especially for women that are working outside of the home in any capacity, Sherry and I work outside our home in our homes. If that makes, we have work that we do for outside of our homes, within our homes. But look, all this stuff takes time.
Yeah.
Taxes take time. And we pretend like it doesn't. Like we'll just get it done in the margins. Yeah. And it doesn't happen. So I love that you gave us some direction about how to have focus, how to get some projects done, put them in our rearview mirror so we can really move forward with a lot of freedom.
Okay, so what I would love to do is have you introduce yourself And you played two roles that are actually very similar now that I think about it. You play a role for Grit and Grace, and you play a similar role for Clutter Free Academy. So go ahead and just tell us a bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll dive into talking about the book club.
My name is Tanya Kubo, and I am the director of Clutter Free Academy, which is the kindest corner of the internet over on Facebook, where we focus on getting rid of clutter in the heart, the home, and the mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really excited and pleased to be the facilitator over at the Grit and Grace Girls podcast Facebook group as well.
And you just do an amazing job in both places. So we are so grateful to have you on board. So talk to us about the book club that's starting up. It's the book that Kathy and I, it's our first book, which was titled The Cure for the Perfect Life. It's being re-released under the title You Don't Have to Try So Hard. So fill us in on the details here.
Well, I'm really excited because I loved that book. In fact, you know, I had loved Kathy for a number of years. I had booked her at an event at my church and, of course, had to read everything that she had written. But I fell so in love with you in that book. And just the authenticity that you both had in sharing kind of the dark parts of our souls, but also in helping, you know, those of us who recognize a little bit of ourselves in there, overcome and sort of just lighten ourselves up. And so I loved the book. You know, I led a Care for the Perfect Life group, and it's something that we came up with, right, is the women who struggle with the bullies, and the bullies are perfectionism, people-pleasing, performancism, and I always miss the fourth P.
Procrastination.
Because that's the only one I don't do.
Yes.
I've got 3 out of 4. We're kind of not the type of people that would insert ourselves in the word perfect.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like there's so many women out there who this book could help that just never picked it up because they looked at it and they said, but my life's not perfect. Mm-hmm. Or if I had a perfect life, like, why would I want to pick up a book
exactly.
about it? Why would I want to cure that?
Yeah.
So I love that you and Kathy were open to repackaging it and calling it something different because the book really is about women who try so hard and the fact that we don't have to. And so to tell you a little bit about Clutter Free Academy, a lot of people think of us as a clutter group, right? We talk about getting rid of 25 things in 20 days or however we decide to do a challenge. But the other thing that we do is we really focus on the clutter that you don't see because I happen to think that our outsides tend to be a pretty good indication of our insides, right? So if you live in a cluttered house, chances are you have a cluttered head, you probably have a cluttered heart, and oftentimes you have a cluttered calendar.
Okay, you're hitting close to home, Tanya.
So I think it's a great opportunity to explore the book, which is what we're going to do. And we're going to kick it off on September 10th. Because the book comes out September 4th, and we want everybody to have a chance to buy the book and just to start reading it, because our discussion goes kind of quickly. And so we start September 10th, and we go through a few chunks every week. We have assigned reading, but then what we do, which is my absolute favorite, is I get on Facebook Live at 5 p.m. Pacific every Monday during the book club, and we have a discussion.
Fun. Well, I love this because, you know, one of the things I found about online community that I hadn't expected is how supportive it can be and how powerful it is to be going on a similar journey with other people. It breaks the shame that keeps us so isolated. So I am so thrilled that you're going to be doing this for us.
I totally agree. And I'm really excited because I think over in Clutter Free Academy, you know, our group is large enough that there's conversation going on all the time, but not so big that things like fall off so that if you, you know, miss a couple of days, you're totally out of the loop and you feel like you don't belong.
I love it. So the big question that I'm sure some of our listeners are going to have is, okay, this sounds good, Tanya, but I don't really think I have a physical clutter problem. Should I still join this? Will I gain anything from it? Or you guys, it's Clutter Free Academy. Are you guys just talking about clutter or is there room for me too?
I'm so glad you asked that question because I was having a conversation about that earlier today. And I mean, here's the reality of Facebook groups, right? You get to join and you get to quit anytime you want.
Good point.
So I really think that we're going to have a lot of people who don't have a physical clutter problem, who are going to join for the book club, and then at the end of the book club say, you know, this has been a great enriching experience, but, you know, I'm done here. Thank you so much. I'm just going to find my way out. And that's totally fine by me. I know it's fine by Kathy and everybody else there. And then there are some people who are going to come in and say, you know what, I don't have a physical clutter problem, but this has uncovered, you know, going through this book has uncovered some things I didn't realize about my head, about what's been inside my heart, and about my busyness, the clutter that I do. And I think that even if it doesn't look the same as everybody else, the thought process and the perspective is the same. So I'm going to hang out here because these are my people.
Did you just use the phrase, the clutter that I do?
Yes.
Oh, that got personal real fast, Tanya. Oh, my word. Oh, I'm going to have to breathe deep. Okay, so I'm definitely going to be there for these. I think it's 6 weeks, is it? Kathy will be there. I'll be there. You're going to be the fearless leader with the discussions. We are just so excited. So to Grit and Grace listeners who would like to be a part of the study of the book, You Don't Have to Try So Hard, over at the Clutter-Free Academy Facebook group, Tanya will be leading that, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Can't wait for it to start, Tanya. Thanks for hanging out with us a little bit today.
Thanks, Sherry.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 116 and a half of Grit and Grace. You'll find all the details you need for how to join the You Don't Have to Try So Hard online book club at youdonthavetotrysohard.com. Be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking with Crystal Stein, author of Holy Hustle. For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
Barry, I'm recording, babe. Yes. We got a little Darius Rucker in there.
That makes a great out. Thank Barry for our outtake, please.
Sherry says, thank you for the outtake.
Put it in the bloopers!
poor Barry.
Just a good dose of real life. Anyhow.